So one of the reasons you're probably like, okay, why does this gym owner want to like talk to me? And I'm fascinated with entrepreneurs. Like I'm fascinated with businesses that start from nothing and then all of a sudden they're like the hottest thing ever.
Yeah.
And to me, the Salty Donut. And tell me when you were founded. Like when did you?
2015.
Okay. Yeah. So that was probably right around when I was kind of becoming a little bit more well-known mm-hmm. in the fitness industry and in the training industry. And it was really interesting because people were bringing the Salty Donuts to the gym, which back in the day I used to like frown upon and be like, oh, why are they doing this? But
I get it.
But then it actually, the more I took the notion of no days off and what it is to me and what it is to our community, which is no days off is never taking a day off on you. It's a commitment to becoming your best self. And it's outside of fitness. It's outside of the grind. It's actually in the balance. It's in the day-to-day life. And I'll tell you, one of my favorite things to do is I take my three-year-old to your place.
Aww.
And just the joy that he has in your place, seeing the donuts being made, and your staff is so nice, and, and the way they just like treat the kids good. And then and then he just devours the donut, like devours the donut. For me, like that's got to feel amazing to you.
Yeah.
And I just want to kind of like go down, if you don't mind, like just kind of tell us your story, you know, like how you came up with this, when you started, like tell me the whole thing. Like, I just want to know all about it.
Let's do a run through. That's it's cool though that you say that, because that's like literally why we started the Salty, right?
No
for that exact experience. But so it was 2015 and kind of just figuring out like, what am I going to do with my life? Like I was at UM at the time and in one of the classes, it was like, oh, come up with like a company, like one of those group projects that, you know, they make you do in college.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, well, does anybody else have an idea? No. Well, I kind of like was thinking about doing this donut shop. Like, and at this point it was just like a fun thing that I noticed like Miami didn't have any donut shops. So I was like, hey, let's just like create this fake donut shop and like let's just do all the research for the class. So I actually like a lot of the research stemmed from this like group project, because I was almost like forced to really dive into an idea because nobody else had one.
Right.
And then it stemmed from there of just like, okay, like screw it. Let's just like try to make
like
this a
actually
thing.
Do it.
Yeah. So from there, it's like the fun stuff, which is like traveling around the country to like other donut shops that have like made like Business Insider lists and just like are making like waves across the country. So and when I say we, it was like back then my boyfriend at the time, now my husband. But
congratulations.
So things went well.
The business didn't destroy your relationship.
Yeah,
that's
no,
good.
No. Still going strong. So back then we were like, okay, so we traveled and visited a bunch of donut shops, said like what we liked about some, what we didn't like about others, just because it's like we didn't just want to be a donut shop for Miami. We wanted to eventually, you know, branch out to the rest of the country, which we're doing now. And so from there, just research, planning. And then we knew it was actually between South Miami and Wynwood for our first location. Went with Wynwood, just like more of like the like cool vibes and just some like trying to be like out there and just a little bit more unique, a little bit harder to get. Because back then, I mean, what is that, like 8 years ago now?
Yeah,
so it's like it was a different
Wynwood
world.
Was not like, really, I mean, honestly, like Wynwood probably didn't really become Wynwood until after the pandemic, really.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean?
I agree.
It still was a little shady.
Even
before 2020. So
I agree.
Now
so,
it's like
it's a
like,
whole other
it's
world.
Like the main city. It's literally like the place. Yeah, exactly.
So back in 2015, we were like we couldn't really afford much except for a little like camper. So we rented commissary space in like North Miami. And then we've got a truck and a camper where we would basically make the donuts there. And then, I was the delivery driver back then.
Oh, no way.
So
okay.
I would do the drives 2 times a day. So I would drive to get the donuts, bring them back. And then I was also packing. And
so
then
who's the cook?
So back then we had like a consultant, like a opening pastry chef, and he no longer like works for us. And it was really just like us three, like, well, and we had someone on coffee too. So us four running the whole thing. And then it was like every week was like, I think we need someone else. I think we need someone else. I think we need someone else. So it was just like adding people from there. But we were just 3 days a week operating that pop-up. And it was like a couple hours a day, just like trying to get by. And then the rest of the week we would spend on like, how could we open our store? Which is still the store, like our first store is still open now.
Yeah.
at the Wynwood Arcade. So like dealing with the build out of that, putting everything on our credit cards, like coffee machine, yeah, swipe. Like it was just paying that off for like 2 years. It was a bit intense. And then yeah, from there, a year later, I remember at the pop-up, everybody was like, when are you opening your real store? But like a couple months. Like we had no idea anything about permitting and any of that stuff. So that was a mess, but it ended up being a year, like almost to the date later, we opened our first Wynwood store. But really the idea, like I kind of bounced, but it was like just stemmed from, there's no really good donut shop in Miami, like artisanal donut shop that also had just kick-ass coffee. And then it was just like, when we traveled around the country, I was like, well, wait a minute. Also, I think that this could be in other cities too, which is what we're experiencing now. Like what cities are missing? Like maybe they have a donut shop or like obviously awesome coffee shops, but it's like something that blends all like vibes, donuts and coffee together, like doesn't exist.
And then as far as the name, where'd that come from?
Oh my gosh. So there's like, I feel like rumors of like how, what our name is.
I honestly think like the name is, don't get me wrong. Like it's great donuts. It's great coffee, but the name, there's something sexy about the name. Like it just calls you in. Like there's something about it.
I know.
That's just really genius. And I think it's like, for me, obviously I'll let you answer the question of how you came up with it. But for me, it's like, you don't really think of salty with a donut.
Uh-huh.
But so it's almost intriguing.
Exactly.
Because you're like, the salty donut, like, is it salty? Like, you know, but it's, I don't know. That's what drew me in. I was like, okay, I got to try this. Like, what is this?
That's usually like, honestly, the first response. But when we first like came up with the name, it was just, it's weird. It's like, I wish there was a better story, but it just like popped out of my mouth. It was just like, oh, the salty donut. And it was like, we looked at each other, we're like, yeah, I think that's gonna work. And because it was just catchy and sort of didn't make sense, and it was just like, yeah, I don't know, it sounds cool. And then now a lot of people, like that's actually how they even remember it, because it's like the first question they go is like, why the salty, like, do you have salty things on your menu? Right. And they like, I don't get it. And it's like almost what was kind of weird and funky worked to our advantage. So
100%. I think you nailed it on that.
Thank you.
Also, if you can go back a little bit to, you said you traveled the country or the world or just the country, like
the
US?
Okay.
Looking at like, it was there any one that like really stood out to you? Because one of the things that I recognize immediately is that's how I end up with Legacy, is I was traveling with like celebrities and clients all over the United States. So I was going everywhere from New York to Vegas to Salt Lake City, Utah to Arizona, like all these places. And I was just noticing that all the gyms were exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why do all the gyms have to be like 1980s Gold's Gym? I was like, why can't we do something a little different, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm curious, like when you went on that journey, were you getting that feeling? Like, this is kind of like, I want to do something different. Or were some of them like, because obviously you want to take the good, right?
Yeah.
You want to take the good and you want to discard the bad. And that's kind of, because there were cool components of some of the gyms that I went to, but I just think collectively they didn't do a good job. I haven't really seen that many people do a good job of putting it all together.
Yeah.
And so was there any of those, like, did you walk into a space and be like, oh, the way that sign is, or were you like kind of taking mental notes? That's kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, 'cause like exactly what you described is like what we experience. Okay. I mean, in different, you know, industries, but exactly what happened to us. So like, there wasn't like one that I was like, wow, like this is killer, like this is amazing, we have to, I mean, you know, copy it. It's it was really just tiny bits. So we had tons of notes. I mean, with design, music, flavor, customers, packaging, just a ton of notes from a bunch of shops. I mean, there was one store, and I guess it was, I don't know if it was because it was my first, but Sidecar Donuts in Southern California was just like a standout for me, because like, they have like their cake donuts. They're really like majority cake donuts were absolutely incredible. And it was
cake
always like
donuts. That sounds unbelievable.
It was always like what we like strive to do for like our cake donuts. Yeah. But then none of their shops had seating and it was really small. So it's like, it was really just nitpicking a whole bunch of good, like you were saying, from all the shops. And then that's how we came up with ours.
That's amazing. And I noticed too, like the simplicity of your business. And to me, I always think that I have a saying, or I mean, I stole the saying, I think it was Coco Chanel says, there's sophistication and simplicity. And then Chick-fil-A, like, I don't know if you read that book. There are two books that they have, but I highly suggest them. They're amazing, if you, especially if you own a restaurant.
Yeah.
One of them is called It's My Pleasure. And they really talk about the simplicity of their business model and how they stick to it and they don't ever distract. I've noticed that y'all have a very simple approach. And was that always ingrained in, like, did you know that's what you wanted to do? Or was that something that just kind of by chance you keep it simple?
Yeah, I mean, I think that like it was really ingrained in like what we wanted to do. And then I think also like starting the Salty, and I mean, I feel like it happens in a lot of businesses. Like you get not distracted, but you try not to get distracted and you're like kind of a little bit all over the place because you're just doing so much. Like when you first start your business, that I think now 8 years later, we're getting back to what we like, the simplicity of like what we wanted to achieve when we started, you know?
Yeah, because in the beginning you have to try, you almost have to try everything.
See what
sticks. To find out, to find out what you're good at. Like when I first opened the gym, I did everything from boot camps to MMA, to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, to karate, to like, I mean, it was just a, like a, you know, smorgasbord of fitness. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden the light bulb went off and I was like, oh, I need to focus on this. And then when I did that, that's when the business boomed. So
sometimes it's just trial and error.
Did you have an aha moment or a light bulb moment through these years? Like that just sticks with you?
I feel like it wasn't like a specific moment. It was really just like the more stores we opened. So from Wynwood to South Miami, so from our first to second store, it took 2 years. And then after that, it was like one store every year after that. And then two stores this year.
So how many stores do you have now?
So right now we have 8.
Amazing.
And it's kind of crazy. So we open our 9th Atlanta next month. And
ATL,
it's just like, So it's like as more and more stores open, it's just like more of a realization. So it's been a slow climb of like just trying to simplify things and also standardize things. But yeah, this is going to be a really big year for us.
All right. So I want to take you back to the early days. Give me a story where you were just like, this isn't going to work. This is a disaster. Cause I know you have it. Like we all entrepreneurs, all business people at some point in time have that decision. Like, am I going to keep going or am I going to give up? And I'm sure you might have more than one.
Oh my gosh. I was like, I'm like, my brain's like the Rolodex of my parents think they're like, you should have written a book or like written all these situations down. Cause it's been like, it's been so much. And usually like whenever I like conclude an interview, that's like one of my things that I always say of just like stick with it, trust the process.
Cause
I have so many things. I feel like,
but you need to share them.
Yeah, no,
I'm telling you right now, like there's so many people out there. And honestly, there's so many women out there.
Yeah.
Like even my wife, like I want, you know, she has so many aspirations and stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, you just got to do it. You just got to do it. And then never stop doing it. You know? And so just share those because they're powerful. Like the moments, you know, because everybody sees your success now. They see your 9 locations. And your growth and, you know, your famous Salty donut. And they don't see all that behind the scenes, blood, sweat and tears that you put in. I would love, personally would love to hear like some of those stories and not to, you know, bring up bad stuff, but to me it's good stuff.
Back like then I would cry, you know, you would cry. And now I'm just like, well, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have had, you know, these other 5 processes that stemmed from it or whatever, which it takes like kind of a level-headed person to like think that way. And usually you're not level-headed when something's going wrong, but there was plenty. Like one that came to mind right away. So it was like the first time we ever, this is like specifically with the actual donut, but when we launched Cronuts, like we were like, oh, we're going to do Cronuts. You know, this was, we just had Wynwood at the time.
Sorry, what's a Cronut?
So a Cronut is like a croissant donut. It's the shape it's the shape of a donut, but it's layered like a croissant, which is usually like 50-ish layers of basically just imagine like butter and dough, like layered, you know, like a croissant.
Sounds delicious.
So it's super flaky, super buttery, super delicious, but very labor intensive. And back then, like also the equipment we had is not what we have now. So we were just like, we're going to tackle it and we're going to do it. And we were such a small team. And so we did all this press behind launching this donut and then come out that day. Like we opened the store and I'm like working at the store at that time, like our actual like Wynwood location, we weren't a pop-up anymore. And I'm just like, where's the first round? Cause we had a commissary kitchen at the time that we would like still truck donuts from back and forth.
Yeah.
I was like, where are the Cronuts? Like we had a line of maybe like 100 people out the door waiting for these things. And they're just like, it didn't work. And we're like, what do you mean? Like, we've tested this. Like, what do you mean it didn't work? And by the way, like all this time I'm like trying to deal with the customers. We're like three people in the front of house while like, where are the donuts? And it's that something, I still don't really know like what happened. I think the butter just got like too slippery or something. They all slid when they were being like fried. So they looked like, if you looked at it, the donut just went like, I don't even know how to explain like the shape of it, but it just went like sideways. Like, and we couldn't launch it. And so I had to tell all these people, like, we just, it didn't work. Right. And we had to post on Instagram and it was just like, such a mess. And I was like, nobody's gonna come to us after this. Like, we're not reliable, whatever. Because also then like a couple months later, it always happens on like launch days. Like the worst time that you like want something bad to happen is usually when something bad happens. It was like, we had a small kitchen fire, which like everything was fine. But then like, it was in the building, like the electricity, like, and then there went a little fire.
Yeah.
And had to like close for the day. And it was like a big holiday for us. And it's just like moments like these that I really just went, I don't think this is gonna work, only because like losing the faith like of your customers can make or break you.
100%,
and I was just like, that's it, we're done. And we were just Wynwood at the time. But I mean, now on like much smaller scale and not as dramatic, like things like that do happen. And now we have 8 stores. So imagine like 8 little, like, yeah. Oh my God, we have to like our customers. But there's been so many like things that it's just been awful. One day when running the pop-up, I actually like dropped like the whole speed rack of, I just picked up the donuts from our rented commissary, drove them over. And I was just like such in a rush. Cause back then we like didn't take lunch breaks. It was just like you run through. So I was like shaking, like I'm starving, but I just gotta serve these donuts. And the whole entire, it was like 400 donuts just boop, popped, like just fell all over the floor. And I'm like, I just, you know, when you just like stare at something, you're like, I just give up. Yeah, like, I just, I can't, you know? There's been a lot of the like, I can't days.
And what would you say was the driving force for you in those moments where you're saying I can't, and you're dealt with that much just, I mean, damn near grief, right? It's like, it's just, it's painful when something that you work your ass off for and then it just kind of blows up on you. What for you was that voice to say, you know what, I'm still gonna pick myself off the ground and keep going? Because I think that's obviously the message, right? It's like, yes, no matter what you choose to do with your passion or your purpose, you're going to have trials, obstacles, you know, setbacks, like it's going to happen. But what is it that keeps you going? Like for you, you know, for me, I know what it is for me, but what is it for you? Like what in that moment when you had all those, you know, donuts, not, or co-nuts, or how did you say
cronuts.
That? Cronuts. How do you, the cronuts, when the cronuts didn't show, how do you keep it going?
Honestly, I think like, it's one thing when a lot of people tell you like, oh, entrepreneurship, you know, that you're gonna have a lot of trial and errors and then lots of ups and downs, and you're just like, yeah, whatever, like that's fine, like I'll get through it. But like when you're actually in it, it's like a whole other story.
Right.
And I think in that moment, at that point I had understood that like nobody was going to pick me up. Like, and that's what the reality is. Like when you're your own boss, like there's nobody to kind of support you and be like, you're doing a good job, or you're gonna get through this, or let's do this. It's just you.
Yeah.
Like nobody's there giving you compliments and putting you through it. And in that moment, I was like, I kind of just like, in that actual moment, I was looking and I'm like, well, I could go one of two ways. And like quitting was just not an option because I just had literally nothing else. Like I was like, there's nothing else like I'm gonna do right now. I mean, maybe I'll figure something out eventually, but this is what I set out to do, and like failure is not an option. And so continually, like, it's still something that we live by today, like continually just reinventing ourselves while also staying on like the path of like true to who we are, is what we,
that's no days off right there.
So. Yeah. Right. Like, it's like what we live by, you know, and, the like failure just wasn't an option. It's still not. And so it's like, what, like, that's like when the pandemic hit. So before, I'm sidetracking, but this is like a really cool story of like, we never did pre-orders, which is always why there was such a long line, and like never pre-orders, you wait in your line and whatever. And we thought that was like the key to like our experience, right? Because no, you want,
which I think it was to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Like, there was something about like the anticipation of, Like, I'll never get, like, I'd be like, a group of us would be like, we're going to salty dinner. Like, and they're like, well, I don't know, it's 95 degrees outside. Yeah. Like, we're going to be standing outside. But then we're all like, yeah, but it's worth it. Let's go.
Yeah, you know? Right. So, you like plan your day around exactly. it. But then, like, when the pandemic hit, we were just like, we don't have any type of like pickup system. Cause like everybody was doing that, like pick up and to go and right. just like,
so you weren't on like Uber Eats or DoorDash or
we were not like no, nothing. And so it was like, what do we do?
Thank you for getting on Uber Eats. Cause it's yeah, amazing. Right? They're officially on Uber Eats now.
So. Yes, right. And DoorDash now.
And DoorDash.
But it was like one of those things that we just had to pivot. And it's like, well, failure is not an option. Because at that point, like restaurant, I mean, for a lot of people, it's just really scary.
Yeah.
You know, like people not coming to you anymore. So we had to pivot, create an online platform in pretty much like 2 days. And it changed like the whole, almost our whole business model. And we still use it today.
Amazing.
But it's like we found a good blend of like, making it easy, but also trying to keep the experience. And now we have our awesome, beautiful app.
And correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, it would, and again, if I'm wrong, tell me, but you probably crushed it during the pandemic, right? I mean.
So it, like, it was interesting. It started not great, right? Okay. And then we had our pre-order platform and then we had to like close all the stores and like, just have like, I don't know if you saw like those like little, where they just put like a door, like a table by the front door. Yeah. You couldn't get in. It's just weird.
No, it was weird, such a weird time. I mean, New York was the saddest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Weird times. But after a couple months into it, it just went nuts, like in a good way. Yeah. And then since we were like, we were able Netflix to like keep all of our employees. It was like Netflix and donuts, Netflix and salty. Like
get that a bottle was the of wine, vibe. Get some salty donuts and watch a good show.
Those are our days, right? So it did really well. And it kind of transformed a lot of our business, but it was like, we had one of two ways we could go. And it was like, well, you just got to do it.
Yeah.
Like this failure is not an option.
I love that. So, all right. So now we're up to 9 stores.
Yeah.
And what's the move? Like, what is the vision for Salty?
So this year's going to be a really big year for us. I mean, it's already almost halfway over, which is so crazy.
It's crazy, right?
So the second half of the year is going to be really big for us. So our company does this thing called like town halls, which basically, since we have so many employees, and like, we still want to like keep in touch with everybody, like personally.
How many employees do you have?
So right now we're at about 250.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a bit.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of people.
For some donuts? That's amazing.
I know.
Is that because you have like shorter shifts? Is that what it is? Or
no.
Or?
So a lot of it is just because it's very hands-on. Okay. So what's like the death of us is also what makes us, is just that everything is really labor intensive. And
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Like, so that's actually why, very interesting.
Yeah, we present simple, but the back end of it's like really complicated.
Really?
Everything's homemade. And so it's just like, it's a lot of prep.
Yeah,
a lot
maybe
of
talk
everything.
About a little bit of that. So
yeah.
I didn't know everything was like homemade. Like, tell us about these donuts, because obviously that's something that I should have led with. Like,
no, you're good.
Like, there's something different about your donuts. Like, let's just keep it real. Like, it's not the average donut. Like,
yeah.
And again, I'm obviously not somebody that eats a lot of donuts, obviously. But if I'm going to, then I have your donuts. And there is something like just delicious about it. So maybe go into a little bit of like what, and don't tell us your secret, your secrets, but I think it's important to distinguish, you know, why you're better than everybody else. Cause it's very obvious. So
Thank you. It's made up of a couple parts. I mean, one part is just like I was saying before, which is everything is extremely homemade. So when we say like cookie butter, like we are making our own cookie butter. We're not just like buying a jar of cookie butter. When we first launched, we had like a Nutella donut, and then we were just like, why are we buying Nutella? We need to make our own. So we use like hazelnut, like,
because there's a lot of crap in Nutella.
That's the thing. Yeah. So our like hazelnut spread is just made of like 4 ingredients. So it's just like hazelnut oil, hazelnuts.
Amazing.
Which makes it very expensive. But it's
way healthier too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Cause it's like the less stuff we could put in our donuts. Mm-hmm. You know, actually it's not, like my friend the other day was like, oh, I want to give my like little baby like one of your donuts. And I like screenshotted, like we have this app that like for all of our recipes, I screenshotted the ingredients in it. And it was like, I looked and I was like, this is why like we do what we do. It was just like 6 ingredients. It was like milk, butter, you know, it's like very straightforward. I mean, I know it's not the healthiest for you, but it's not loaded with crap, right? Yeah. And that's
I mean, it's important that we're eating real food.
Exactly.
Even if it's not so-called healthy, as long as it's not processed.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I mean, if you go to the grocery store and buy donuts, you're eating plastic basically.
Yeah. So, and that's usually why like donuts have a bad impression on people, because like people have had bad experiences.
The hydrogenated oils is the main thing. And those things just are killing our world. So I love the fact that you're saying you're using like all natural stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Homemade and all this.
That's then also like the second part that makes us kind of crazy people, but also like is who we are. We just are constantly like pushing to like make better products. Like, so we do donut tastings, which is a real thing, 4 times a year, where we just taste like 4 months of like our, or 3 months of our menu at a time. And like, we're there commenting and tweaking. And like always, like we're also just being like, how can we make this better? Like just today, we got a feedback on like, we're retesting like a dough that like to a normal person, they would not be able to tell a difference. But to us, we're like, we just want it to be like a little bit fluffier, like just a little bit whatever. And it's like in the picture, like it's like 1 millimeter, like tiny, tiny. And we're just like, yes. Like it's just constant improvement.
Attention to detail, constant improvement goes with your messaging. Like, it's who you are. I love
it's
it.
Who
like
we
that's,
are.
It took me like a year and a half to develop this water for the same reason. Like a lot of people are like, I'm sure you hear it all the time. Like, you know, donuts are donuts.
Yeah.
Water is water. Yeah. And it's actually, no, it's not. Like not all donuts are made the same. Not all waters are developed the same. So it was important to me when we were doing the waters to just make sure that there was a distinctive difference in the taste.
Yeah.
So we had like water sommeliers. We had extensive testing.
I know about those. Yeah, I know about those.
And I didn't know about them.
I've heard.
There's
water
people that know water.
Yeah.
And they're hilarious too, because they treat it like wine. So it's like they're smelling it and doing the little, you know, spinning it and doing the swishing in
the
their mouth.
The swishy, the aerating.
I'm like, what are you doing with my water? It's funny. But that's really cool.
Yeah.
All right. So now, okay. So we were talking about the ingredients and like how it's made. That's amazing.
And our people.
And now we're at 250 employees.
Yeah.
So how, and if you had something to say about that, you certainly just interrupt me, but is from a culture standpoint, from an, so I thought I had a lot of people. I have like almost 30 and that's a lot. So,
it's a lot,
You know, and to hear you have 250, is there anything that you do from a culture standpoint that is maybe unique to the business?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know like what other people do or I guess don't do, but what I think, I mean, our benefits package is just so amazing. And it's something that I'm like really proud of, because we've been able to launch it last year, and it was like just something that I think for a donut shop is a bit above and beyond, because at the end of the day, like I do recognize like we're just a donut shop, right? Like we sell donuts and coffee and baked goods, but something else, like I was talking about our like town hall. So it's really important that like we can't talk and like touch hands with like all of our employees, like us meaning like my husband and I, and like now that we're in different states, it's like only so often we can visit them, especially that we have like a little 4-year-old. So it's like we do these things called town hall, so they happen every quarter, and we just had one the other week, and it's basically just giving like an overview of like, hey, this is what like we're up to, because some of the stuff you think like that they just know, but like they won't know. Some like a couple years ago, this is actually how these meetings happen. Again, like where you just live and learn from your mistakes. Some of our employees were like, oh, I didn't even know about that we were opening a store there until I saw it on Instagram. And it broke my heart. And I was like, you're in the grind so much, like head down, just like, and then you don't realize that some people like, how else are they gonna hear about these things?
Right.
Like, and that's how we were like opening, like signing leases and opening stores. And we're just like, and then it's like, oh yeah, well, we're gonna open a store there, surprise. So it's really just a cool way to stop. And it's just 2 hours long, like virtual, to see everybody and just play games.
So you do
games
like a virtual town hall meeting.
Yeah, that's with cool. Everybody across different states.
Amazing.
And it's just like, this is what we're up to. Like, and this is also like how to grow with us, because that's also a thing. Like people wanna know, okay, like some, you know, some team members, it's great. Like they're just there doing their little job and they go home. And then others are like, hey, how can I grow with you? And so we're setting like clear paths of like, oh, you want to do this? Like, this is how you do it. Like you want to get here with us? This is how you do it.
Are you growing only corporately? Are you thinking about like franchise, or how does it, how does your
growth? For right now, all stores are just owned by us.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we're not doing any franchising at the moment. Also just cause like our like customers see is just like, when we like, oh, look, we're launching a store here. But on the back end, like right now, about like there's 6 more stores that are going to open this year. And then like 8 that are in design that just haven't been announced. So It's like a lot on the back end. So it's like, even, I feel like even if we like chose to franchise at one point, it would be like so far down the line just because our lineup is
I love growing corporately though. I used to franchise and I stopped franchising. Yeah. I love growing corporately because it's just, you control everything.
Yeah.
The cult, for me, the culture is very important. And when you, like some of these fitness brands, they get out of control where it's like they have 2,000 locations and only 300 are good and the rest suck. So, you know, keeping that quality control, I think you're doing it the right way.
Thank you. Yeah. I guess it's just like a better way to like be able to know what's going on under our roof. And we are like, I think I said this, like what makes us a little crazy, because just, we're just super passionate about what we do. And it's like,
it's not crazy. Okay?
I know. Crazy good. I don't
crazy
know.
Good. Yeah. Yes. It's crazy good.
Not crazy bad.
I always say that, like, cause I'm obsessed, right? Like we're obsessed.
Obsessed.
We're
yeah.
literally obsessed.
Yeah.
And no one can really understand why
unless
you are you. Like no one is going to, I mean, I can understand because I have something I'm obsessed about.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to talk to you, because I knew you were going to be that kind of same person, because you cannot get to where you are today and where you're going without being obsessed.
Yeah.
And I think anybody out there that wants to open up their own business, because I hear that all the time, like it's even in like interviewing trainers and stuff, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And like, oh, owning my own gym.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what does that look like? And then they have no clue, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I guess, you know, talk about a little bit about, you know, that obsession and what it requires, you know, like, again, for me, it's attention to detail. It's, you know, living intentionally, like being very intentional in everything that I do. It's constant communication. Like it's over communicating with every single person on in my roster. Constantly. Like I call myself, like, instead of a CEO, a CRO, which is a chief reminding officer.
I love that.
Yeah, I got that out of a book. And we have like required reading and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from your perspective and where you're at, and I also would love to know like what role is your husband and how that dynamic, like, cause I know that's can be challenging or what have you. So what is his role? And I just asked you like 14 questions.
I think I got them. I think so, there was two questions. Like, just, I think.
So, all right. So go start with whatever you just heard. So,
yeah. So I guess the first thing, like, what drives
your obsession?
Us.
Yes.
Yeah. What drives that obsession? Is really, it's like, we have so many ideals like aligned, but attention to detail. And then also something that we've always led by is just never thinking like it's like you're the best, because it's just like,
just talk to me.
Like when you think like you know it all, that's like where your growth stops.
Yep.
Right. And it's just like, you're not going to get anywhere in life. I mean, it sounds dramatic, but
repeat
like,
repeat that again for everybody out there.
So yeah.
I just talked
for the
about
ones
this.
In the back.
Yeah, exactly. No, seriously. Like, because especially this younger generation, they get just a little bit of success and then they're like, oh, I'm the best that's ever done it. I'm this, I'm that. And the truth is, like, there's literally no such thing as winning in business.
Yeah.
Because you have to show up the next day and keep doing it. Otherwise, you don't have a business. So to win in business is really to improve in business. And if you're not on that journey of improvement and learning on every single day, then you'll eventually will lose your best status.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, then also, and listening, right? Cause like for us that we're in like our, what rides, like where, what rules our businesses are like guests, like our customers. Right. And so without them, like we are nothing. And so, you know, you have your review here, or the thing there, whatever, like sometimes, yes, it's not relevant, but like you have to listen to what they're saying. And so if you think like I'm the best and I'm whatever, like, and some points are valid, like, where is that going to get you? Like those people are the ones that are coming through the door. And it's like, we always say like our customers pay our bills, right? So like we got to listen to
them. Have you ever gotten any like, really? Because our reviews have been notorious. We had probably one of the funniest. If you ever just want to have a die out laughing, go read our Yelp reviews back in the day. So I was a maniac back then. So I used to kick people out of the gym and
Yeah, so you learn.
Yes, and then you learn. You take notes. Okay, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Did you ever have any of those like just horrifying reviews that you're like, oh no, like.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's actually like one of those like moments too that I was like, we can't do this. When it's just like that the review is just like, it breaks you. Like I've cried over reviews.
And also too though, isn't it also like, I often find some of the hardest reviews are also like a chance to have a little bit of like self-awareness and say, you know what? There's a little bit of truth in that. Even when because a lot of times the people that do these reviews are a little nutso, right?
Yeah.
And they're being so nitpicky and they're talking about things they don't even understand or whatever, but there always is a little bit of truth in it. And so if you can look at it from a perspective of like, hey, I can learn from this and apply it next time so it doesn't happen again, then you're probably in a better position than you were before the reviews.
Yeah, and that's our key.
And another key thing too is business owners out there, a one-star review, a bad review does not define you.
Exactly.
Okay? Like, you know, a lot of people, they see these reviews and they just dwell on it and they mope around, oh, we're the end of the thing. And at the end of the day, there's too many people in this world. So everyone's gonna have an opinion. And you can't please everybody.
Yeah, you can't please everybody.
But you need to learn from people. And I love that.
Yeah, so it's like, take everything with a grain of salt. And like what I used to do is, I used to cry over reviews. Aww. And now like it's like, it doesn't define me. I like reread it, take a step back. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to move on and like rise above. But it's also, I don't know if this is like just how humans are, but it's like, my husband would be like, why are you looking at like the few bad reviews? Like, why don't you look at the other good ones? I'm like, well, because that's just, you know, those are just there. It's like, but yet there's one bad review out of like 10 positive, but then you're just dwelling on that. And so you could definitely get yourself like stuck in a hole.
There's studies on this. It is human nature. And it's actually, and not like talking bad about women, but it is something women do a lot, is like you can read, like even about yourself, you can read like 10 things that are amazing about yourself.
No, you and just then, pick out the one.
And then there's one thing that's negative and that's all you focus on.
100%.
And that's just, that is human nature. And so but I'll tell you one thing, like your husband's right, because, and I've have to do a better job of this because I'm one of those that would focus on the bad too.
Yeah.
Is that celebrate those wins, mm-hmm. you know, celebrate the 5-star reviews, celebrate the compliments, you know, like, and give yourself a little bit of celebration, because that's also gonna pour into you and help you keep going when it does get bad. You know?
Yeah, so. And your team members too. Like we were just discussing that today. We had a strategy call before this of just like, it's not about, because we were talking about like doing like more store check-ins and for like our regional team. And we're like, it's not about like going to a store and being like, this glaze is not 100% great. It's like, you have to also give people praise and high fives, and because that's like, what's important too.
And so people work harder for you when they feel appreciated.
Yeah.
So if you go into these stores,
you know, like, don't we all?
Of course. It's like, but I tell you, a lot of business owners or a lot of like team members or say managers or whatever, they think that it's about, you know, pointing out everything they're doing wrong and you have to do this and you have to do that.
No, it's about the balance.
It's a little bit of that, but you do have to also compliment them on what they're doing right, right?
Yeah, it's a balance for sure.
Yeah. All right. So what did your husband do?
Yeah. The second part. Yeah. So when we first started, we both just kind of like did a lot of everything. And then now he's more, just strategic growth. So like, dealing with, well, we have a partner who helps us with all of like our growth of like what new markets we're going to go into. So he does all of that. Like, I think his job's kind of boring, but a lot of the finance stuff and like
all the back end stuff, admin.
Like his technical like title, we're not very like big title people, but his title's like CEO, and it's just a lot of like growth strategy and finance stuff. And
trust
me,
I totally understand, because being a CEO, there is a lot of boring stuff. It's a lot of, you got to read a ton of contracts.
Oh,
you
have
to negotiate.
A ton of phone calls.
It's a lot of reading, a lot of Zoom calls, a lot of meetings. It's not all what it's cracked up to be.
But, I know. I'm like, Andy, you're always on phone calls.
All day long. Yeah. It's like nonstop. Yeah. So.
And then me, I'm kind of like split right now into a lot of things, but I do store design and then a lot of new store opening and then anything design wise. So like packaging and then great, like larger marketing efforts. I used to do all of like the marketing, and then now we have a CMO. So mine's just more like strategy of marketing.
I love that you're a design. So that's what I love doing. So.
Yeah, that's why I said his job's boring, because it's like, I like to do the pretty stuff. But it's like, I love still joking around because, you know, we're so many stores and also like people that have seen us like are still with us from like the beginning, like our team members that have been with us for like 6+ years. I still like to like keep things fun. So like the other day I was talking to this girl and I was like, oh, I think we're going to have to start like hiring for a new position for new store openings because like one, like a two-man team is not, or two-person team is not gonna like be enough. We need to expand. And they're like, okay, but what do you think? How much this person's gonna? I was like, nope, money talk. You could go to Andy. You know that. I was like, if it's me, I'll just pay everyone $1 million. We'll make no money. I was like, do not ask me anything about money. I mean, and it's funny because I went to school for accounting and finance, but then I graduated like, nah, like yeah. No, thank you. So that's awesome. We flip flops. Now I do all the creative.
And your mom. So you have a yes. 4-year-old.
Yeah, 4-year-old.
How is that? I have a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And so I know it's intense.
It's intense.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing, but it's also intense. How's that balance been? Like as far as just having a child now and going through that, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot. And it's also like, it slowed things down. Like before Andy and I would like just travel everywhere to like find where a new store is gonna open. And now we have to be more like, oh, Andy, you go or I'll stay. And we split up a lot.
Yeah.
And we like weren't used to that before. Like Andy and I were like always together. But I feel like Salty has like made us better parents. Cause we just are like, we know teamwork and in yeah. work. So we were like, okay, let's just now do that and as parents. Right. So it's been really fun. And like the 4-year-old Sage is like pretty fun. Like he's hilarious. And like, and he's just like the other day he was like, you going to the donut shop? And I was like, yes, that's where we work, Jordy. Like his name's Jordy. Oh. And he's like, you gonna go make money? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. And he's like, yeah, okay, to buy me more toys. And it's just like kind of also like brings you down to reality a yeah. little bit. Like it's like keeps things like, ah, you know, that was funny. Thanks, dude.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
And I'm assuming he loves the donuts.
Oh, yeah. But he's like, so we have the Tres Leches donut, which is like the one that has like the swirl on top. Yep. And he's always like with his hands, he's like, Mom, I want the swirly one. I want the swirly one. And then all he does though is eat like the meringue on top, which is basically like pure sugar. And I'm just like, it's fine. Like, yeah. He doesn't understand fully like the whole donut.
I think my son loves the donut holes.
Oh, yeah. The donut holes are always a hit. Always a hit.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Especially if you heat them up just a little bit, people.
Yeah, I know. That's like the untold thing. Like I would never like tell our like employees to tell someone at the register, like, hey, heat the donuts up a little bit. But like, you just know, right? You just know.
It's like, there's something about, you know, maybe even add a little ice cream on top. Not, you know, yeah, if you're feeling frisky.
If it's a good night.
So we develop it in Pembroke Pines.
Okay.
So we make the cans in Florida Canning in Lakeland.
Okay.
So they do all the cans for Monster Energy drinks. So
yeah,
they do like
nice.
2.1 billion cans a year.
That's a lot of cans.
It's pretty and crazy. And what's really crazy about that is it's 2.1 billion cans for Monster in only the Southeast. So Monster actually makes even more cans than that.
It's disturbing.
Like, it's very disturbing. Isn't
disturbing.
That crazy?
That's a like, lot of
really
juice.
It's really wild. It's a lot Ooh. Of caffeine, to say the least.
Right, yeah.
A lot of caffeine and sugar out there.
Yeah.
But so they do our cans, and then we ship the cans to a fulfillment center, a co-packer called UAT in Pembroke Pines.
Okay.
And then they go through this like 7-step process of reverse osmosis that they created. They used to do water in Venezuela for like for Pepsi for 20 years.
Wow.
And so they were doing like Gatorade and water for Pepsi. So obviously, and in Venezuela. So if you can do good water in Venezuela, you can do good water anywhere.
Yeah, then you're doing good.
And the owner is like obsessed with the process. And so he does something like typical normal reverse osmosis is like, goes down to like 10 microns. And the way he does it, he does 10, 5, and 1. So he hits it like 3 times.
Yeah.
And then they hit it with these UV rays. And then they hit it with
UV rays. Wow.
Yeah, they hit it with UV rays to clean it even more.
Wow.
Then they hit it with ozone. And then they add the proprietary blend of essential minerals that we created for like taste and function to give it that crisp taste. But
that's really cool. I know about RO just because we use it for all of our coffee. So of our stores have reverse osmosis for their coffee.
Oh, and tell me a little bit, because I know the coffee is like a thing, right?
Yeah, so it's a thing.
What makes y'all's, because I love coffee. What is y'all's differentiator with the coffee?
Yeah, so we use Intelligentsia and—
Wait, say that again?
Intelligentsia. So they're—
Intelligentsia.
Yeah.
That's a big word.
Yeah, they're a roaster based out of Chicago and LA. Intelligentsia. We call it Intelli. Well, everybody calls it Intelli for short.
From Chicago?
Yeah, in LA, but super awesome company. And actually their founder, we ended up just becoming really close friends, and he has a seat in our board actually.
Nice.
But so we take a lot of pride in coffee just because like Andy is like a super coffee nerd. And it's just something that also when we were going to all the shops, it was like, oh, great, great donuts. But like, I don't understand. They're like, they just have no coffee, or it's just like, oh, drip coffee or whatever. So that was something that we were just like, we're passionate about it. And we wanted to, you know, set ourselves up differently than everybody else. That's also been really intense because all of our machines are not like automatic. It's very like, it's like just complicated to teach. And
you like grind your own.
So like
beans,
it's just,
and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Like, so the grinder between, I mean, it's a lot of like expensive equipment between, we have like three types of grinders, you know, then we have decaf, whatever. And then like the machine, then you have to get your scale to weigh it and tamp it, which you have to tamp it by hand. But just like all of this, yeah, all this stuff.
A lot of extensive work going on behind the scenes.
And then like all of our, obviously like, you know, you have your serious coffee drinkers, which, you know, there's like a small percentage that comes to us, like all the espresso, like hardcore. And then you have like your majority of the people, which they want like, oh, like, you know, salted caramel or vanilla, whatever. And so all of that, those like syrups we make in house.
Yeah.
So that's all homemade. And so it's like just a lot of items on our menu.
And is it your, their brand like collaborating with you, or is it like you're just getting it from them and branding it as your own? You know what I mean? Like,
So, so our espresso is just like what you could find. It's just called Black Cat, like espresso.
Okay.
And then, our, what's we call like the salty blend. That's like just our basic, like cup of coffee kind of thing, that we like collaborate with them on. And so it actually says like the salty, like there are little bags. And then we want to move like our next phase, I think, like just with so many stores buying so much coffee, it's like, where are we headed with this? Like, it's at some point you're kind of like, okay, maybe we should talk to them about just even roasting our own, or just because it's like,
do you
hundreds
sell
and pounds
of also?
Like, yeah.
You know, by the pound.
Yeah, or yeah. So we have like our like little 12-ounce bags that we sell, and they do really well. And we have, you know, a cold brew. So our cold brew, some places they have where it's just like a concentrate and you just like put in water. But we have like that all of our stores are like steeping them for 18 hours. Like, it's just like lots of homemade things.
Yeah.
And it's that's like when we open more and more stores, what makes it a little more complicated, but that's also just like what makes us. So we take a lot of pride in our coffee. Actually, just yesterday I was doing a coffee tasting.
Okay.
So it's like we tasted seasonal drinks for the rest of the year. So it was like, I don't even know, it was like 12 different coffee drinks. And so we had to spit, like tasting wine. It was like spitting coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a lot of caffeine and sugar. But
I was about to say, were you jacked after that?
Jacked. I was like twitching like.
we were going to do our own energy drink. And thank God we pivoted to water. But through that process, we had to do a lot of sampling.
Ooh.
And literally me and my business partners were like, I don't know if we can have, like, we were, the conversations we were having. I mean, we were laughing at ourselves. We're like, we might want to slow down on this. It was comical.
And then you just like the anxiety that it gives you.
Cause
you're just
horrible.
Like, so
and
like,
the headaches, like it's too much. It's like, that's why I pivoted quickly to water. So
it's better, hydrate too. Better.
Exactly. And you don't have to like, obviously, if there's anything proprietary, you don't have to tell me. But in terms of like growing the business, have you done this like strictly organically through the growth of the company, or have you taken on investors? Like, I think a lot of times business owners want to know, like, okay, I have one store.
Yeah.
You know, how do I get to something where it's multiple locations? You know, because obviously there's a lot of expenses that come with that. And it's very hard, obviously, just to grow your company with only profits. Which I did that for years, but I know that eventually I had to take in some outside money.
Yeah.
Is that something y'all have done or entertaining?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, so our first two stores was just like by us.
Yeah.
And then after that, we were like, okay, how could we, this is not gonna work. Like, we're gonna grow too slow. And it's just not, it wasn't in our model. So we went out and, that was our Series A. It was really like supposed to be like, we called it friends and family. It wasn't like actual friends and family. It was just more like, we called it that because it was like someone that knew someone that knew someone. It wasn't like, you know, private equity or anything like that. And then about 2 years ago, we did our second round. And then now it's like at the end of the year, we'll probably do our third round. And we're just, we weren't.
Are you
we,
still away from PE and VC money?
Or, yeah.
That's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. And
stay
then,
away from that as long as you can.
I know. So. Yeah. We're still, I mean, still, it's fun. Like all of our investors are just like, not like literal friends, like, hey, let's go grab a drink on Friday. But yeah. It's just like that we know them, you know, personally. So it's just been a really awesome experience with all of our investors. So it's been a good ride for sure. So
yeah. Well, that's really good information, yeah. though, because a lot of people, they don't know how and they don't
yeah,
know
or they
works,
like give so. Up too much, you
yeah.
know? So
yeah, that too.
That's
yeah.
really important. And no, and like yeah. this year, so we were at the cusp of like, oh my gosh, the rest of the year, we're going to open 6 more stores. And we're just like, how are we going to do that? And it's like, if we now went out to raise money now at our valuation now, compared to what it'll be at the end of the year when 6 stores are open. So we're just trying to maybe even take on a little debt. And then it's like,
timing is everything.
So like, yeah, because it'll be like a different company
no,
at the end
totally
of the year.
Totally different. That's yeah. We're dealing with that right now with a beverage company. So, you know, timing is everything.
Yeah.
So, and to your point, you don't want to give up the company when you're busting your ass on everything.
So. Yeah. Especially because at the beginning, like everything looks like all offers and things look so great. I mean, we just had our pop-up in Wynwood. Someone came to us and was like, oh, I want to give you this much money. Yeah. And it was just our pop-up 3 right. days a week. And we're going to put you here and there, whatever. And we were like, yeah, like rainbows and butterflies, great. But my dad at the time was like our mentor. And he was like, no. And he was like, it's more, I don't remember if it was him or someone else, but someone important said, it's more important what you say no to than what you say yes to.
I love that, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, it would just been bad.
Yeah.
So, and you know, you get scared being.
And recognizing that is a gift. Like,
yeah.
Because you know, a lot of people fall down that road. Yeah. You get in bed with the wrong people, it's a disaster.
And I've heard just awful stories.
So many stories, especially in the restaurant
world. It's heartbreaking,
world.
Yeah.
You know, like the restaurant, and I say restaurant because I mean, it's food. So, and
food,
it's
yeah.
Food and beverage, anything regarding food
yeah.
is painful. Like
yeah.
All the health inspections and the permitting and the design, like everything is so more intricate than
yeah.
like for this location, we wanted to do beer and wine. I mean, we're still trying to get that. Like,
oh, that's a toughie.
It's
that's
brutal
a toughie.
It's,
well, especially in Florida. In Dallas, it was like, hey, here you go.
Yeah. Do y'all have a store in Dallas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Amazing. So yeah. What cities are y'all in?
Oh, okay. So let's hope I got them all. So there's 8, but so we have Miami, West yep. Palm Beach, Orlando. We're about to open 2 in Atlanta. So 1 in Buckhead and 1 in Krog Street. And then we have Dallas and Austin.
Love Austin.
A second location in Dallas, actually. So 2 in Dallas. And then we have Charlotte.
Love Charlotte. Amazing.
That's it for right now. Yeah.
That's great. That's actually very in line with. So we're trying to open in West Palm. We want to go to Dallas and Austin. And we're going to Atlanta. Have you heard about the new Centennial Park development?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're gonna go in there with the CIM group, the same group
awesome.
That put us here. So yeah. So
I love
the
Atlanta.
Cities you chose. And yeah. Charlotte is somewhere too. Either Charlotte or Raleigh, I think we would do really well.
Yeah,
in.
We're looking at Raleigh as yeah. well. And then Tampa is going to
love
open
Tampa.
In summer. So.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, in the okay. summer. We're in Hyde Park, which is just like, you know,
yeah,
the,
that's like
the place.
Place. Exactly. Yeah.
And maybe
my wife's
little...
from Clearwater, so.
Okay, yeah.
We drive there all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Florida is just like easy for us, you know, because so we're just, easy. We know it and we're here, but out of state's a little more complicated, but we've done it and we're doing it.
And
so.
Would you, is there any place that you thought, because this has happened to me multiple yeah. times, was there any place that you were like really wanting to go to, but then it fell through and then you realized, thank God I'm not there?
Oh yeah. 100%. It was yeah. New York.
Happens a lot. Oh, New York. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. We were just, it was just Wynwood at the time. And yeah. we got approached by some really amazing people. We still keep in touch with them out of New York. And we had the space. I already started designing it. And then we were just like, well, actually the one reason that we were like, oh no, is because like the metro or whatever, like
metro, yeah.
the metro, that like it was going to be
the
a
subway.
Renovation.
And
there you go.
New
the
York,
subway,
yeah, yeah.
like the K line or whatever. One of them, cause it was in Brooklyn, was going to be shut down. Like there were like talks of it being shut down and we're like, oh, that'd be like the killer of the business. So we're like, oh, let's just no, forget it. There's too much noise in New York, this train thing. We don't know what the hell we're doing. But we went up there, like we were flown up there a ton.
Yeah.
It was like right next to like the Supreme store in like Brooklyn, which I think is probably closed now, but anyway, it didn't work out and we're just like, no, thank you.
And what year was that?
It was like 2016.
Oh, so yeah. Thank God.
No, it was, okay. It was like literally like we had no idea what we were doing. Like it was not going to happen. Even if it went, that's why I'm like, thank goodness. Cause if it went through, we would have made it again, like our mentality, we would have made crap happen, but it just would have been like the death of my mental like state.
Yeah, I've turned down LA and New York many, many times. And when I first started, I thought that that had to be in that triangle, you know, New York, Miami, LA. Like it was like everyone I talked to, you know, you have to be in LA.
Same.
And then, you know, fast forward today, I'm like, I'm still not in LA and New York. I'm doing pretty damn good. So, you know, and we then call especially it just like the noise. Pandemic, that's the last place you wanted to be in is LA and New York.
Isn't that like, crazy how it worked out? Yeah.
Like, especially in the restaurant. Good.
Yeah,
God,
I know.
And gyms. Like, it was just, they crushed restaurants and gyms. Yeah. Literally crushed them. And it's so sad because in New York, there's so many like mom and pop restaurants that never came back. And they were there for hundreds of years, you know? Right. Like, it's just really sad. Yeah. But it's building back. You know, a little bit.
I'm going there in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I haven't been in years.
So I just got back. And I will say I love New York. Like, there's certain cities when you land, you get like I just start like, oh my God, I'm in New York. I'm in New York. Like I just get hype. And then I feel like when you're in New York, if you're not like a New Yorker, then you really stand out for some reason. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm big, but, And then you just meet like so many people because everybody's like, okay, who is this guy? Like, you know, so it's just fun.
Where'd you come from?
Yeah, it's like really fun. And I'm taking my wife back for her birthday on June 1st. So,
that's nice.
So New York, I love New York. I was very disappointed in New York during the pandemic. I was like, you guys are crushing this city.
Sucks,
so.
Right?
It's just Chicago, New York, all the blue states, unfortunately, but.
Yeah, it's just not, there's just too much noise. Like, we're not going to go there, but I love to visit it, but not to open a store.
And then what's the most exciting city that just kind of gets you, like, wakes you up? Like, as where you are
going? Actually, I love Atlanta. So I'm really like excited about that opening at the end of the month. And then a store I don't think we've announced it yet. Kind of a random one.
Breaking news.
Breaking news, everybody.
We need that breaking news music.
I don't even know what it is. I just did it. we're opening in Denver.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. I love Denver.
I'll
go really good with the weed in Denver.
Like, you hungry? We got you. It was just like a place that I love to visit and love the weather. Like, I mean, it's weird because I live in Miami, but I love the cold. So.
And where are you from?
Here, Miami.
You're from Miami?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I say Miami. Technically, I was raised in Broward, but whatever. I just say Miami, right? Yeah. Like, it's fine. South Florida.
Yeah.
So Denver is going to... I love that city.
No,
so.
Denver is amazing. We're also looking in Denver, too. Like, Breckenridge is one of my favorite places to visit. Yeah. Like, skiing and everything. I always say that skiing is, like, the closest that you can get to God.
Yeah.
Like, there's something about being on the top of the mountain on a clear, sunny day in your skis where it's, like... You almost hear God. Like it's incredible.
It's so
such
peaceful.
A good city.
Yeah.
Y'all would crush it in Denver.
Like, I hope so.
You're gonna crush it everywhere. So
yeah, you can only hope, right?
Yeah. And is any plans? If there's any plans personally, like for you to write a book or anything like that, like
I don't know. You know,
should.
I know.
This is such a great story. Like
you know? It's just a lot, and I feel like at least like just getting something down on paper, right? Yeah. I just feel like we've been through so much stuff that sometimes you're just like, what? Or like also that people would have no idea of. And it's like going back to like what you said earlier, like they just like see how, like where we are now. And like, they don't realize like I was the one driving the donuts. Andy was on register. Like, you know, it's just like my mom was actually making our boxes.
No way.
Like she would be in like, we would put her like, in like the shed, like literally like a shed, like not really legal, like just folding our boxes because they weren't like pre-built. Now they're like, you just
your
pop
mom
them
is
open.
Doing your slave labor.
Yeah. And she would always be like, you don't pay me. I'm like, yeah, duh. I'm like, well, we don't even pay ourselves.
I love it, like, talk about that. Cause I think a lot of business owners are fooled by how much money you get to pay yourself in the beginning. And
zero.
I know for myself, I opened my gym in 2008. I did not pay myself until like 2010. And then it was like pennies on the dollar compared to what we were bringing in. So when did you start paying yourself?
Honestly, I don't even remember. I just know at the pop-up, like the only money that we would pay ourselves, like the tips, right? Yeah. Like, so whatever like And like, we had a tip jar. It wasn't even on our like POS at the time. It was like, whatever that was like what we like lived by. And so it was just like borrowed money, like by my parents. Like, it's just like getting by. And I think that's the other thing, like on a topic we were talking about before of like the money, it's as much as you know, you want to start your own business and you have to be worried about money because you have to also make money.
Right.
It's just like, that can't be the leading factor for like your own personal self, or else it's not going to happen. If you're just like so consumed with how much money you're making from it, you can't lead like that. And so we just knew that, I don't know, it was going to happen eventually. So I don't even remember when. It might have been.
I would say when was like the first year of like real profits?
I think when our Wynwood store like opened, like, but really then it like off. It's just been a roller coaster, right? Because then Wynwood opened. Oh, but then we had to open South Miami. Okay, then take all the money, reinvest.
Yeah, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and you're moving money around.
And that's what we are doing now, right? So like we have 8 stores open, but we want to open 6 for the rest of the year. So it's just like constant like little choo-choo train of dust, that's in a loop.
Right, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, like there's purpose behind it. So.
Yeah.
And then as far as design, cause I'm obsessed with design personally, what is your design process? Like what, when you walk into a blank canvas, you've rented out a space, it's dark white shell or whatever they deliver the space at, or it's raw, floor.
Oh, they're like vanilla shell, vanilla white shell, whatever. Yeah. They have a white box, like all
always,
their names.
When they call it a dark white shell, I'm always like, could we name it something else? Yeah. That sounds depressing.
Yeah. But,
you know, I know what I do, and I'll share that with you after you tell me. But so what is your design process look like? Let me ask you this too. Are all the stores, do they look exactly the same, or do you like to put a little flavor on, on it?
So all the stores actually look entirely different.
Oh, I love that.
Which is like the challenge of it, and also what makes it more expensive. It's so fun.
Yeah.
And really, because what we tag ourselves as like internally is like the local national. So what happens like when we go to other cities, we don't want to be like, oh, those Miami people coming in and like taking over our town. It's like, no, I want to be like one of you. I want to be like, if you had no idea I had a store somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so I don't want any store to be cookie cutter.
Yeah.
So when you walk in, like the logo is the same, obviously the donut display is the same, the coffee machine's the same. So like you still like, if someone from Miami went to Austin, like they'd be like, oh yeah, this is the Salty, but it's like totally different design. So when I first go to one of our locations or just hear about it or see it, it's all about tagging. Like I do this thing where I just name a store. So basically whatever I'm feeling that the vibe for the store is based off of like the demographics, like the street it's on, the trees that are on the road, whatever it is, I name the store. And so like what that means is like in Austin, it was, what was like mid-century living room. Like that's how I name stores. Like that.
Love that.
And so—
By the way, so I don't lose this.
Yeah.
Y'all need to go to Nashville.
So we just signed a lease in Nashville last week.
Let's go. Yeah. So we're going
also
to
another breaking news. Boop, doop, boop, boop.
Yes, another breaking news. Yeah. We're going to Nashville Q2 2024. So
I feel like that falls in line with
in
us
Germantown.
Too. Oh, okay. Yeah. We're on.
I was just sitting here like listening to you and like how you design stuff, and I'm like, oh, she needs to be in Nashville because she would design a sick location in Nashville.
Yeah.
I am so excited about designing
Nashville.
I love
Nashville
because it is one of my favorite cities. Literally, like. And it's gonna be fun to design it because I want to design it like a country music hall, like, you know.
So so you get like whatever like the vibe of like the city is, right? Even down
if you bring
to like
Miami
the area.
And Nashville, they're gonna be like, all right,
no, yeah,
bro,
like they're not,
take a, that shit
they can't
else.
Relate, yeah. So exactly. It's like, so it's like just every store is different. And actually, so Wynwood in June, I mean, we've been building it out for a while, where they're getting a total redo of the store.
Yeah?
So it's same building, but we're moving to like the opposite side, and it's like 10 times the size because we're calling it our flagship location.
Okay.
It has like kind of like how this is, like it even like a little conference room, like it's
nice.
Like a testing area. It's huge because we were like, that store is like the first store we ever opened. It was like cost us like pennies, and like it's not really the representation of like who we are now, and we recognize
so
that.
So funny, you're so much in line. That's why I did this. Is the same exact
it's,
thing
it's
you said.
It's the same thing.
Because I was in a warehouse for 14 years, and every time I went to like raise money, I would have to bring people to the warehouse with no AC, and their, you know, balls are sweating out the red, and they're like, they're like, I'm not really seeing the vision.
And you sell it though, right? Like, so like verbally, you're selling the vision, and then they're just like,
as you can see it.
Yeah.
You know, like obviously, like we can see it because it's inside of us. But until I did this, and it was so funny, like even my brother, like when he finally walked into here, he was like, oh, I get it now.
It's like, you know, thanks.
And I'm like, yeah.
So. Yeah, that's what happened with us. But yeah, so every store gets like a little like trademark, and then from there, the design stems. So
Nashville's gonna be fun. And when is the new, I'm excited now, when's the new HQ open?
Oh my gosh. So that one has literally been like years in the making.
Yeah.
It's been really complicated. And we've also, so we have a commissary in Little River.
Okay.
And that's what, who
we're
does
going
like.
To Little River too. So y'all.
No, like So that Little River commissary opened like when Wynwood opened. So that's where the donuts come from, all like through Wynwood. And then if you have like a large catering order,
they cooking place.
That's like, our hub.
Okay.
But we're just like, it doesn't fit who we are as a brand, like these employees that are just like separated from everybody, and like they don't even see who gets to enjoy their donuts, and like it's just like very like mass production style, and we're just like, nah. So we wanted to bring everything back in one, but we didn't want to move our store, like that's really scary, like our first ever original store. So luckily, same building, whatever, and it's back of house and front of house. It's like a 3,000 square foot space, like it's
amazing.
It's pretty big just to make donuts, tons of equipment in there, but we don't really know, you know, like when you're like kind of sort of gonna open, but you also have no idea when you're gonna open.
Oh, yeah.
That's the phase that we're in right now, but I like feel comfortable saying June. So it's like right around the corner.
No, I understand.
But,
I understand.
You know?
When I was in the warehouse for 14 years, I literally was, it was like first of all, it was the middle of the pandemic that I negotiated this, August 2020. But then I was on the last year of my lease there. So I had to time it to where like, and literally I'm not exaggerating, the day that I had to be out was the day that we moved in here.
Wow.
And we had to get, the mayor, shout out to the mayor. We had to get him to like intervene because we needed fire to sign off. And the cutoff was 4 p.m. They signed off, and I'm not exaggerating, they signed off at 3:58.
Oh my God.
And so we were like, yes!
We did it.
You know?
Yeah.
But then I know you can relate to this. We open and we open on April 1st. And that day I'm already designing the next location.
Yeah.
You know? And so I was like, and this is when, you know, doing these podcasts, I was like, you know what? I've got to stop and actually recognize the things I'm doing instead of just on to the next thing, on to the next thing. And I know you're not asking for advice, but I would say to you, you know, like,
that's important.
Celebrate this new HQ,
yeah.
the flagship, and remember as you go to really lean into patting yourself on the back, you know, your accomplishments while you pursue the more, you know, and I always, you know, do more than is required, but well, I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Like, amazing. So
thank you.
And we gotta like, you know, collaborate some way.
I know
fitness is and donuts is sometimes
it's actually a thing. I mean, we've done a ton of also like fundraising events have had super big turnouts because it's like, you know, like we'll do like a workout and then like reward with like a donut after,
like a reward,
and like,
exactly.
like a little or like a water bottle, whatever. Because it's just like about enjoying life and having a good time and
100%
being with like friends and family.
Yeah.
Which like, what better than like a workout that you can enjoy with like friends and then the donuts, you know,
exactly.
at the end.
And then also too, celebrating entrepreneurs and celebrating local businesses.
Yeah,
like we
just
both
doing
were
something
like
good.
Born out of my, out of Wynwood, really. So
yeah.
I love that. So thank you again for your
thank
time.
Thank you so much.
And I can't wait to meet your husband and and maybe we'll get him on the podcast too. So
All right. He's fun. He's awesome. Opposite to me, but he's fun.
Yeah. That's mostly my wife and I are complete opposites.
Yeah.
And it works better that way. It's like,
that's the only way that
yes,
works.
It, yeah. If you're exactly the same, you're going to kill each other. So.
Well, other advice.
Yes. All right.